Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, March the 6th, 1983. We trust this service will be a real uplift in your life as we worship together around the precious Word of God.
If you come sin, our longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you, died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God.
Reading today is in the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers 21, verses 5 through 9. People spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Let's bow our heads, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and all that it means. And we just ask, Lord, that if any time we speak against thee or fail to trust thee, Lord, we just ask that you would forgive us. Father, we just pray that in our weakness, if we failed to look to Thee for all things, that You would forgive us, Lord, and just help us, Father, to realize that all good things come from Thee, and just help us, Father, to look to Thee for all things, and just to not depend upon ourselves, for we know that our understanding is nothing, and You knoweth all things, and we just know that we need to look to You and to trust in You for everything, and just not to trust upon ourselves. Just help us, Father, to look to You, and we pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would realize that He is the answer for all our problems, and that if we would just put our faith and trust in Him, there's no one else that can save our souls, and there's no one else that can make it possible for us to become Your children except Jesus Christ. Just pray, Lord, that this service would praise and lift up His name. For it's in His name we pray.
Okay, for our last hymnal, let's turn to page 240. There shall be showers of blessings. And let's stand and sing first, second, and fourth stanzas. 240.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is a promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshed.
The doctor says she's doing fine. She don't think so because she's not able to get up and go like she used to. But that's, time, I guess, will take care of that. The doctor told her it would be several months before she got able to do much. And, of course, right now, her left side of her face is mostly paralyzed. And the main thing that's troubling her is her eye. Her eye doesn't blink, and consequently it tries to dry out, and it's causing her problems, gets irritated and things like that. But she's, Thursday she went back for a checkup, and she's she thought she was going to get bawled out when she went down there because she hadn't got up and moved around like she thought that he thought she would do. But after he told her what he did, why, then she felt better about that, of course. And several have asked about visitors. I told Carolyn a while ago that if she came to the front door, she might not get in because nobody uses the front door except visitors. If you want to come and see her, she's perfectly able to sit there and talk. She feels fine, she says, as long as she's mostly lying down. And we'll just walk on the carport and open the door. It'll open and go on in, even if somebody doesn't come to the door. So feel free to come around, anybody that wants to. There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more.
And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be?
Everybody that lives about us says tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, a light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill.
And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be?
And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be?
I trust you've already looked to the lighthouse. If you haven't, that during this service the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart, that you would look. That you would look and live. We're going to be preaching today on the scripture that Brother Earl read for us, plus some verses in the third chapter of John that Jesus said to Nicodemus. Verses 14 and 15, especially of John 3, as well as those verses there in Numbers 21. I was visiting in Brother Hogue Hawkinsmith's church up in Hamlin, Ohio a few years ago, and he preached that morning on saved by good looks. Saved by good looks. He preached on a verse in Isaiah that says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God, and besides me there is none else." Today it's look and live. Like a plaque I have in here, a little pen set my students gave me in school. It says, "Believe and receive, or doubt and do without." Today it's look and live. Saved by good looks. It's wonderful to know in the plan of God that we have here in the Bible that everyone can be saved. It's God's will that none should perish. Two wonderful verses in Ephesians 2 that many of you can quote from memory. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If we add anything to salvation except simple, childlike faith, looking and living, and that look has to be in faith, we have to look by faith. That's the gospel today, one of the verses we read in our Sunday school class, one of our brothers read, said we need to look. Need to look and live. The thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Today it's look and live. Before we get any farther into the message, let's look to the Lord in prayer. I want to give one or two other prayer requests today. I want to be praying for Miss Sizemore. She lost a sister in death a few days ago. And also Jack Napier's mom died, Fanny Napier. And I trust you'll pray for Jack and his family and all those other loved ones today. Father, we're grateful this morning that we can look up and find in Thee the strength that we need. Father, we're grateful for the Lamb of God who hung there on that cross so many years ago that we could look to Him. The sacrifice that He gave for our salvation there on that old rugged cross. Father, help us to never forget the price that was paid for our salvation. We know, Lord, today that salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It costs a great price. Father, today we pray that Your perfect will be worked out in this service. We thank Thee for the singing and all that You've done already. And we praise Thee already, Father, for all You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd also like for you to pray for some people who lost loved ones down here at the hospital this week. I was called out about 2:30 one morning, just a few mornings ago. A 33-year-old mother went to be with her Lord. Cancer. I believe her funeral is today. I met with that family. Little boy in the fifth grade and a 5-year-old daughter. They had 2 children. I told him, "I can identify with you." As I walked in the door there, he said, "My wife loved the verse that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And I read Psalm 23 for them. I trust you'll pray for Fortney family. I'm glad that her husband, he said she was a Christian. It's wonderful to know that. Let's pray for Elmer Cornett's family too. His mom died about 9 o'clock or so one morning this past week. In Numbers 21 and verse 8, which will be our key verse today, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." As I said a while ago, salvation is free, but it's not cheap. If God put a price tag on salvation today, not many people could meet the price. To put a price tag on salvation would cheapen it. It's costly. And this is why that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. You're bought with a price." And what a wonderful price it was. The gospel. The verse I was thinking about a while ago that one of our brothers read is 1 Corinthians 15 that tells about the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, Isaiah 53 and other places. And that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Salvation is free. In the Daily Bread one time it mentioned this thought, "Why are people willing to pay such a high price for being lost when salvation is free?" We were over at the nursing home a few Sundays ago and I mentioned the Ansel Wright. And one of the patients there said that Ansel had died. I know that he had cancer, I believe. He's the fellow that I offered a dollar bill to over there. And Ansel said, "I can give you a 20. Just like that, you know. I was trying to illustrate what salvation was. It's free. A gift. A gift. You can't shove a gift off on anyone. It's free. It's a gift. Salvation is free. And there in the Old Testament, in Numbers 21, the Lord said, "Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." There in verse 5, Numbers 21, we want to first of all look in the Old Testament and then look in John chapter 3 at the last part of our message. Numbers 21, verse 5, it says, "The people spake against God and against Moses." Did you know today when you and I gripe and grumble, we may not be griping and grumbling just against our parents or against someone else or against the authorities, but we in a sense are griping and grumbling against God. Against God. I wish we'd take home with us Philippians 4:11. Paul said, "I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content." God rained manna down from heaven 6 days a week. On the seventh day, none fell. They had to get enough on the sixth day to last through the seventh day. God fed them. They wanted some meat to eat. And God sent quail by multitudes. And they had it running after nose almost. God fed them. and bless them with water out of the rock. And here the people are speaking against God and against God's man, Moses. We need to be contented. And you know, that's the hardest thing in the world, I guess. Is to just be a happy person, a joyful person. They said, there is no bread. Last Sunday night we preached on be of good cheer. Tonight we're going to be preaching on more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'd like to invite you out to the evening services as well as the chili supper at 5. We need to be happy today, joyful in the Lord, because we have a lot to be thankful for. God has rained down showers, literally showers of blessing upon us as a church, upon us as individuals. Even in the trying times of life, God is right there. He's right there. Children of Israel said, there's no bread. There's not any water. And their soul just hates this light bread. That was the manna that God sent. We'd better be careful about crying out against God. God knows what He is doing. And He's still working on us. He's not through with me yet. I don't know about you. He's not through with me. He's still working on me. You know, God stepped in. When people gripe and grumble against God, against God's man, God steps in. The Bible says there in the 7th verse, He sent fiery serpents. Verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You know, there's a sowing time, and there's a reaping time. I have not put one seed in the ground yet. Brother Sutton and some of these others have got lettuce probably already coming up almost. But you know, there's a sowing time. There's a reaping time. The children of Israel cried out against God. A sowing time. And now they're reaping. Reaping. In verse 7 it says, the children of Israel cried out to Moses and said, we have sinned. We've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against thee. They said, pray unto the Lord for us. And Moses prayed unto the Lord. He was there, what we call today, a mediator. Today we have a wonderful mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The children of Israel said, pray for us. Pray for us, Moses. We find that in the 8th verse here, God gave the remedy here in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. God gave the remedy in verse 8. He said, make a fiery serpent and set it up on a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Hey, that's a wonderful verse. There no doubt were many of those people who were at the point of death. When they looked at that fiery serpent of brass, they lived. They lived. Moses obeyed the Lord. The remedy was ready for anyone who would look. If anyone had been bitten, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. I believe that as much as I believe. Today is the 6th day of March, 1983. I reckon that's what day it is. I believe that. The remedy was made ready. And can you imagine some of those people as they heard what Moses said? Can't you imagine someone saying, Moses, that is too simple. Why, it just won't do any good for me to look. What's the use of looking? Did you know if anyone said that and did not look, they did not live? It was just as simple as that. And that's the same way it is today, friends. All of us today have been, as it were, bitten by sin. You can almost hear the noise of the serpent, the old devil, in the word sin. The middle letter of sin is I. Do you know who's going to keep you out of heaven? Yourself. That's a person. If you go to hell today, friend, you're going to have to go over many roadblocks on your way to hell. Every church steeple pointing to heaven. Every prayer maybe prayed by your mother, dad, or friends, relatives, neighbors. I was talking to a dear man down at the hospital this past week. My dad and mom stayed in their home many a time. And he told me it took a serious heart attack to get me started on the road to heaven. He had just gotten back from Florida 2 or 3 weeks ago. My friend, God lays down many roadblocks in your way to the place called hell. And I trust each one of you this morning who is not a Christian yet, you have never come out openly for the Lord, I trust you'll think. You'll think on your way. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us. Titus 3:5. Thank God today for salvation. We're saved today by God's mercy, not by what we have done. We're saved today, friends, by Christ's death. By Christ dying, not by our doing. It's not of works. It's a gift to be received. Look and live. You're in the New Testament. Jesus believed in the Old Testament. He was living during the Old Testament days. That's why God said in Genesis, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And Jesus here in John 3, talking to Nicodemus, he backs up what happened in Numbers 21. Talking to this rich man, Nicodemus. In John 3:14, he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Jesus here had just started His earthly ministry. Hadn't been preaching long. John the Baptist had baptized Jesus earlier. And here Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. In John 12:32, the Bible tells us, Jesus talking, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Today, friends, I want you to look to the lifted Savior if you're here without the Lord. And if you're here and a Christian, I trust you'll look again at Calvary. See what all Jesus went through to pay for our salvation. John 12:33, the very next verse, says, "This he said, signifying what death he should die. And I, if I be lifted up," Jesus knew in just the 3 years or so, he would be lifted between heaven and earth. They're giving his life as a ransom for many. Look what verse 15 of John 3 says. "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him," "believeth in him, should not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life. Like back in Numbers 21, they had to believe if they looked at that brazen serpent. And brass throughout the Bible is a type of judgment. Jesus was going to be judged, as it were, for our sins. What a price. He who had never told a lie, he who had never had an evil thought, he who had never sinned once, was going to become sin. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I like 2 Peter 3:9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance." John Noble, when he gave his testimony at the Hyman Gymnasium one night, he had been in a Russian prison camp for about 9 years. He was under 100 pounds for much of that time. And as he stood up there to speak to us that night, John Noble probably weighed 180 pounds or so. And as he gave his testimony, he quoted one of the verses in the Bible that says, "Not many noble are called." Not many noble, N-O-B-L-E. He said, "I was saved by one letter." John Noble was his name. He said if the Bible had said not any noble, he would have been left out. God said, "Not many noble." So John Noble, as he looked through the door to see his dad was in prison at the same time. And John Noble said, "If my dad can stand this, I know I can." As he saw his dad put his tin cup out the door one day. Friend, God has come that all may be saved. That any, and that many may be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I love that word "should." You know, Jesus told a parable about a wedding, and he said, "They would not come, but that all should come to repentance." All are not going to come if the world lasts another 100 years. There are going to be many, many that are not going to trust the Lord. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him That didn't leave anybody out. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in His sight. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath believed not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Look at John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My friend, it's look and live. The people there in Numbers 21 had to look at a brazen serpent upon a pole. Did you know the symbol for doctors is a pole with a snake wrapped around it? That's in the 20th century, 1982, 83 rather. Look and live. Many years later, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up that serpent there in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. 1 month from today, actually it's April the 3rd, I believe, is Easter Sunday. I trust we're grateful this morning for such a wonderful Lord. He was lifted up on an old rugged cross, hanging between life and death. He said, it's finished. It's finished. That's one of the verses we're going to bring into the message tonight. We can have victory because Jesus got the victory. Jesus gave His life freely. In fact, the title of our invitation this morning is going to be, Jesus Paid It All. As Linda comes to play for us and Brother Tom comes to lead us in this song, 204, it says, Jesus paid it all. And all to Him I owe, sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. We owe Him today everything. Does He have all of us? Are we ready for April 25th to May the 1st, our revival services? Are we right with God as Christians? Are we done all we can to magnify the Lord in this place, in this community where we live? Let's stand as we sing, Jesus Paid It All. If you're here and lost, no better time than today to trust the Lord.
Yeah.
I'd stay here till 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. God's Word has been given out in the singing and in the giving out of His Word. And I trust God will continue to deal in people's lives that may be lost here this morning. I'd ask Brother Earl to come up and lead us in closing prayer today.